The Lisa Wexler Show podcast is brought to you by Winston Prep School for Kids with Learning Disabilities. Visit winstonprep.edu. Also brought to you by Onboard Services. For your staffing and engineering needs, go to onboardusa.com.
Attorney, advocate, author, public speaker, The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
It's 6 minutes after the hour, 203-333-9422. Listen, if you happen to have won tickets yesterday and you're a regular listener to the show, you know who you are. I need you to give us another call right now because for whatever reason, we have a bunch of different emails that are not working. They're getting kicked back, and we're not sure exactly what the problem was. But you know who you are if you won tickets yesterday and you're a regular listener to the show. We can't seem to be able to communicate with you, and the tickets we want to make available to you, we'll call. 203-333-9422 is the number, and welcome back. In this hour, we're going to chat with somebody about the U.S. Census. They will be taking your pulse. No, seriously. They're going to be, I don't think they do that yet, but they are going to be finding out if you're here. That's what they're going to be doing, and they get to count the people. And then the question is, what else do they get to do? What else do they get to ask us about ourselves? What are they allowed to know? And what is our choice with respect to complying with the census? Are you going to be slamming the door in someone's face? Are you going to be avoiding the window? Do you not want to be seen or heard or counted? The extent to which you're counted is the extent to which you and your community get benefits directly from the federal government and the state government as it filters down. So it's an important exercise. It's required by the Constitution once every 10 years. 203-333-9422. I really enjoyed that conversation with Zen Honeycutt. I have to tell you, I felt like I could keep going on and on about it. Although to some extent, it's always depressing to find out how much poison is in our foods. We can take it back. We can make a change. We can insist on higher quality. It may cost us some extra dollars now, but in the long run, think how much cheaper it is to have good health. Really. All right, so 203-333-9422 is the number. We got some stories here, right here in Connecticut. Oh, did you hear what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C., with respect to the reports are that the Republicans barged in on a, quote, closed room impeachment deposition. Did you hear this? It's being described, well, I can't use the word it's being described as. That would not be G-rated. But it's described as quite a chaotic scene as Republicans briefly brought the Democrat-led impeachment investigation to a halt when around 24 GOP House members stormed into a closed-door deposition with a Defense Department official. Democrats then said the move compromised national security because some of the Republicans took electronic devices into a secure room. And the protests captured national attention, drawing the focus actually away from the important testimony. Keep your eye on the ball here. The testimony of William Taylor, the top U.S. diplomat who told lawmakers just a day earlier that he was told President Trump was withholding military aid from Ukraine unless the country's president pledged to investigate Democrats. So the maneuver seems to have been either an intentional or unintentional distraction from the question at hand, which is the extent to which President Trump involved himself and created a situation in which the Ukrainian officials felt pressured to do an investigation at Donald Trump's behest that would inevitably affect the 2020 presidential campaign. 203-333-9422 if you want to talk about it. And there are more stories that are coming out about it every minute of every day. Let me give you some headlines as well. Right now, we have a vacuum as the operation, the military operation that withdrew so many troops from northern Syria is essentially ceding the region to Russia. And many analyses are being written right now about what's going to happen, even on the front page of the New York Times today, a conversation about what we're going to do with the prisoners, the ISIS prisoners in these prisons, the population of people that literally nobody wants to focus on. But Eddie, calling from Long Island, wants to talk about pesticides. Eddie, I'm all ears, but where on Long Island are you from?
Hi, Lisa. I'm from Lake Grove.
Lake Grove. Lake Grove. Where's Lake Grove?
It would be opposite side of Stony Brook.
I don't know that area at all. Is that way, way Suffolk County?
No, actually, Stony Brook is right next to Port Jefferson.
Okay, so I go to Port Jeff all the time, but really only to have ice cream on my way to the Hamptons as for the ferry. I love Port Jeff. It's a charming town. I didn't realize Stony Brook was so close to Port Jeff.
Yeah, they're neighbors. And then, you know, you come up a little bit further. You have Lake Grove on also on the north side. Then you go into Smithtown.
So, in other words, if I take 112, I'm going towards the Hamptons. I'm not going toward Lake Grove. It's a different direction.
Right. You're heading east.
I got it. I got to ask you, Eddie, whatever background noise, whether it's our show or something else.
It's probably your show. I'll kill it.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie. All right.
I always forget that.
Okay. No problem. So, so thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. Did you happen to hear the conversation with Zen Honeycutt? Is that what prompted the call?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to call you while I was driving. I was going to pull the parking lot, and then I said to myself, you know what, the show is going to probably go a little bit longer, so I'll have time to run home.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
I actually heard a scary story. I don't think it was Roundup, but McDonald's, they grow a certain kind of potato, not a russet potato, I forget, but they have farmers especially grow these very large potatoes, and McDonald's doesn't want the potatoes to have like any of those like little brown spots, so the farmers actually spray on a chemical onto these potatoes to prevent them from growing this, I guess, fungus or whatever it is. And the farmers will, after they're done spraying, they won't go back in that crop for a week because of how toxic it is.
Really?
Yeah, scary.
You know, it's, you know what it reminds me of? The old cliche, the cure is worse than the disease, right?
Right.
So we got a few brown spots because nature has its way of doing that to just about every fresh fruit or vegetable we eat, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, we've got an apple and I have a few brown spots on it. Big deal. Big deal.
Cut it out.
So you cut it out. But instead of cutting it out, we poison the whole thing.
Exactly. And as for the Roundup thing, it kind of killed me now because I used to use a handheld spreader with Roundup to spread it around.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, Eddie.
I'd do our lawn, and then I would do my neighbor's lawn.
How many years did you do that for?
Oh, God, a few years.
Yeah.
I never kept track. You know, like, as the seasons would come in, you'd treat the lawn, the weeds, and...
Right.
You know, I know my next-door neighbor loses a chemical that supposedly it's like an organic weed killer, but it's like if you overspray, it turns the lawn, like, white in spots.
You know, it's so interesting you should say that because... I am so cynical that when my lawn people tell me that they can use an organic weed killer, I say thank you, but no thank you. I don't really believe there is such a thing.
It probably is out there.
It probably is, but I'm so cynical. I don't trust the companies that are selling me their products as far as that goes.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And so, Eddie, are you just, you know, like a regular kind of... Are you a farmer in Lake Grove? No.
I live on about like a little over a quarter of an acre.
Yeah. Yeah. A regular suburban person who wanted a green lawn. Right.
Yeah. I grew up in Great Neck, and then I moved into Queens, and then my grandmother had passed away, and I came out here to help my brother with the mortgage. He got married. He moved out a year later, leaving me with the house, and I'm just like, really?
Okay.
I burned through all my savings in a year just to keep this house up.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, it was worth it. You know, it was grandma's house. It was the family house where everybody came for the holidays. You know, great holidays here.
Yeah, so you're happy there.
Yeah, totally happy.
But when did you stop using Roundup, Eddie?
I'm going to say maybe a year ago.
A year ago.
You know, when I started hearing about it more and more.
Yes. So the answer is education, right? It's education and information.
Well, that's the reason I got to love radio shows that talk about these things.
Yeah, well, that's what we try and do. Thank you for the call today. Appreciate it.
You got it, Lisa. Thanks.
Thanks, Eddie.
Have a great day. Bye.
It's 14 minutes after the hour, 203-333-9422. It is an important, you know, and the thing is that I really believe information is power, right? Obviously, my whole life is about that. This whole show is about that. And I'm not even sure, you know, much of the time what you're going to do with that information when you have it. But I know that if we don't have the information, we can't do anything. If we don't know, what can we possibly do? What can we be expected to do? But when we know something, it starts to, here's my big word for the day, kvitcha. It starts to get underneath our skins, and it starts to affect our consciousness and eventually affect our conscious choices. So, yeah, we're all about information. 203-333-9422. Stay tuned for more information when we come back.
Waking up your cerebral cortex. The Lisa Wexler Show. WICC 600.
Well, since we're talking about the quality of our food, let's move to the quality of our water. Connecticut Patch writing today that in terms of our water, a report released yesterday found more than 270 harmful contaminants in local drinking water across the nation, including here in Connecticut. The substances are linked to cancer, brain damage, nervous system, hormonal disruption, problems in pregnancy, and other serious health conditions. You know, when we talk about hormonal disruption, you realize in the world that we have many, many more people that are acutely not comfortable with the gender that you and I were born in, that once was sort of very, very, very rare that somebody would be born in a different kind of gender skin and then say when they got older, oh, I need to be this other gender. It was rare. It happened once in a while, but it was rare. And the question is now, is it simply because we're more comfortable talking about it that we have this fluidity of gender in which many, many places and institutions no longer even consider male and female? We're all on the spectrum someplace. We have many more instances of people doing gender-changing surgery. We have a whole pronoun controversy in English about how to refer to people that don't want to be assigned either male or female as a gender. And I wonder out loud if some of this isn't truly related to the contamination of our food and water. Because we know that hormonal disruptions are real. And when we disrupt our hormones, we disrupt our sexual identification. Our sexual identification, that's what we disrupt when we disrupt our hormones. We disrupt the way in which we act as human beings in the male or female dichotomy. So it's all in there. It isn't just cancer. It isn't just, and I say just, it is cancer. It is neurological disruption. It is an enormous incidence of a diagnosis of autism, far greater than anybody can account for in population growth. And it is also a tremendous amount more of consternation about one's gender identity. And one wonders, do we not? 203-333-9422. Have we created this ourselves by our quest to economize and create efficiency on these enormous scales of these enormous factory farms that produce our animals and that produce our plants? And at the cost of what, right? It's been a pretty big cost to human health, to bird health, to animal health, to environmental habitat health. The nonprofit environmental working group, collaborating with outside scientists, aggregated and analyzed data from almost 50,000 local water utilities in 50 states. And they found what they say is a discrepancy. And here's the discrepancy. The discrepancy is between what is currently legal for contaminants, the legal limits, and the most recent, what they call authoritative studies of what is safe to consume. Sydney Evans, a science analyst, said legal does not necessarily equal safe. So in other words, if legal does not equal safe, then when Aquarian comes out and says we're doing everything we're supposed to do and we can't be faulted for it, and they're right, the question is that enough? Because if the standards are too low, if the bar is too low, then we all have a problem. Evan says a lot of these legal limits are outdated and not necessarily the safe level. The federal government has not been willing to or able to set the new regulations to protect public health, and we're trying to fill the gap. Aquarian delivers water to about 700,000 people through 76 water systems in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. We're an Aquarian customer. The company publishes an annual water quality report, and they maintain that that everything they're doing is right, that the EPA's drinking water quality standard setting is correct, and that they are, in fact, in compliance with that drinking standard. And there is something else called the Regional Water Authority. They have 430,000 customers, and they say, while we respect the Environmental Working Group's interest in protecting public health, their statements are misleading. And they seek to drive customers to purchase water filters that they really don't need, when in fact we're providing water that's clean enough. So the following contaminants were detected above the Environmental Group's own recommended health guidelines. There's a whole article about this. Chloroform, bromiform, and two chemicals I can't pronounce. And the issue is really that we all need to be paying attention to this, right? We really do. Speaking of paying attention, there's a controversy that is going around our neighborhoods. And I want to know if you care about this. 203-333-9422. It's being published all over various Facebook groups, of which I'm a member. And one post writes this: if you're not already familiar with the Newport Academy issue and you live in Fairfield or Westport, you need to know what's going on. Newport Academy is run, now this is a Facebook post, run by private equity firm The Carlyle Group. They are buying up houses in Fairfield in residential zones to run rehab businesses to treat people with addiction, depression, etc. Our neighborhoods are not zoned for this, but they're getting around it by calling it a group home. This is not a group home. People will be cycling through in 4 to 6 week stays. This is commercial, a for-profit enterprise coming to our neighborhoods. And is specifically writing about Greenfield Hill, because the Fairfield neighbors have decided to sue over Newport Academy plan. Residents in Greenfield Hill are not giving up the fight to stop a residential treatment facility from opening in the area. 203-333-9422. So let's step back before we step forward and talk about the big idea. So the big idea is that we have addicts. And the big idea is that addicts need a place to recover from their addictions. And the big idea is that there are companies that profit hugely from this population. Their recidivism rate is unbelievably high. The notion of going cold turkey and then being sober for the rest of your life is unfortunately rather rare in real life. It happens, but very few of these institutions will tell you their rate at which people return, because if you knew, you probably wouldn't spend the $40,000 a week or for 2 weeks that it costs to stay there. But we do have a problem in society because we want people to get well from this pandemic of addiction. Then we have the fact that you and I have invested the majority of our life savings in our homes. That is the reality of most of us who own our homes. That is where the majority of our life savings are. They're stashed in our homes. And we care about our property values, and we care about our neighborhoods, and we care about the people and the stability and the life and the comings and goings in our neighborhoods. And that's why we have these neighborhood signs, you're being watched, right? You know, neighborhood, we have neighborhood groups, we watch our kids play on the street, we watch out for each other, at least I do in my neighborhood, and I know my neighbors do. And so we've got this group, this particular group, Newport Academy, which is apparently in the business, and I'm going to take it as a given that they're a for-profit institution. I think that they are. And they say that they're in the business of helping people clean up their addictions and clean up their acts. And so they provide these sober houses for people to get well. And they stay there a month or two, maybe a month or two or three, and then they leave. That I agree with the person who said in the post that that is not a traditional group home. It is not. A traditional group home is a home for people to not segue in and out. A group home is for people who are looking to live there with a permanent residency, who share a common interest in taking care of each other with supervised staff because of a special need. And the special need could be an intellectual disability. It could be a physical disability. It could be a chronic mental illness that needs a chronic treatment like schizophrenia, in which this is a vulnerable population of people that need some supervision. That is my definition and understanding of a group home. But Newport Academy is calling something a group home in order to get an exception to become part of this neighborhood, in Greenfield Hill. Now, what's fascinating about this is all the different comments on the Facebook post that I just read you, because the Facebook post is a dynamic debate, if you will, a civilized one, over this issue. For example, one woman wrote, "I think this is good. People need help." One person wrote, "People, before you try to stand up for what's right, do your research." And this person wrote that even in this neighborhood, not many would be able to afford to spend $2,000 a day to go to Newport. People are coming from all over. Zoning restrictions are put in place for various research. This is not a NIMBY. If Newport cared about the crisis, they would accept all patients, not just adolescents born into mega wealth. But then someone else writes, do you have a better option for those struggling with addiction and severe depression before simply banning them from your neighborhood? What if it were your child struggling? So many people are saying, thank you so much for posting. Something to think about, something to noodle about. One woman wrote, I have one in my neighborhood. I urge you to keep an open mind. This could be your sister, parent, or child. Sober living is shown to help many people maintain sobriety and return to their families whole. But others say, no, we have to respect our zoning laws. So I guess I ask you, would you want one of these houses as your next door neighbor? 203-333-9422. After this, we're going to chat with Lisa Moore. And we're going to talk about the U.S. Census, which may be knocking on your door sometime soon, and also may provide for you a way to earn some money for some temporary employment to work for your government to do the knocking on those doors. So stay tuned. We'll get the skinny on the Lisa Wexler Show at WICC 600 and WICC600.com.
Don't be out of the loop. Stay connected with the stories that matter. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back. 203-333-9422 is our number. So every 10 years, the nation is required, it's in our Constitution, our U.S. Constitution, to count the number of people in this country. Not the number of citizens, not the number of naturalized citizens, not the number of people who are here legally or illegally, old and young, white and black, Native American and other. It doesn't really matter. If you're in the boundaries of the United States of America, you are supposed to be counted. And our next guest, Lisa Moore, is in charge of some of the counting. Welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Lisa, hello, and how are you today?
I'm great, Lisa. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be back.
So I'm excited, too. So first of all, Lisa, what is the schedule going on right now with the U.S. Census? When can we expect the people to knock on our doors?
Yeah, so the schedule, in March of 2020, invitations will be sent out to household units to complete the census both online as well as over the phone. That's our first initial push, and that's brand new for the 2020 census. Following that, we do have several reminders, and then we do mail out that paper questionnaire to households who have not completed it either online or over the phone. That's in early April. But then the largest hiring that we'll be doing for, that we're currently doing for, is when we have census takers going door to door starting in mid-May of 2020. And that's really what a lot of people are familiar with, that door knocking. But there's a self-response phase ahead of that starting in March where we encourage self-response before we do the door knocking.
All right, Lisa, let me ask you this question, Miss Big Brother or Miss Big Sister. How do you have my email? I didn't give the U.S. government my email.
So we will not be emailing anyone to complete the census. So the census, when we receive that invitation in the mail, it's going to direct you to 2020census.gov.
Oh, so I will get something in the snail mail, and then I, if I want to be a proactive citizen, can go online to fill it out, and then I'm done.
That's correct, yes.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I see, because you already have our names and addresses. That we know the government has.
So we don't send any mailing to a particular name. It goes only to the address unit. So it goes to the household unit. So we don't send it to a particular person. It's going to go to an address because a lot of people are mobile. There's some people that, you know, move from home to home in different communities. So it's going to go to that housing structure.
So it's going to go to the structure, and how are we going to know that it's not junk mail?
So we're trying to create this awareness campaign right now. So right now, my staff is out in the community generating awareness, educating individuals about the census and that it's coming. In January, we'll start our large media campaign to kind of remind people it's coming. What is the census? Does that count? It's important for federal funding to your community as well as political representation, and kind of highlight what it will look like in the mail starting in March of 2020.
So there'll be various places where we'll be able to see what the mailing looks like to recognize that it's not junk mail.
Correct.
Okay. So it comes to our house anonymously in the sense of it's directed to occupant or whatever it says, occupant,
correct,
resident, whatever. And then we're supposed to open it. And at that point, do we have a choice of either going online or immediately filling it out and mailing it back?
So at that point in March, majority of our nation will be encouraged to go online as well as over the phone. So at that point, we would encourage household units to complete it online or over the phone. There is a smaller percent of our country who will receive the paper questionnaire in the first mailing, and that's generally for areas where they might be have less internet connectivity.
All right. So, but in our area, we're pretty well connected here in the Northeast. So let me just go back a minute. You're saying we could make a phone call and fill it out over the phone?
Correct. Yeah. So both online and over the phone are new options in the 2020 census. And there's language support in 12 additional languages in addition to English, both online and over the phone. So in that initial mailing will be a phone number to call in and complete your census questionnaire. We will not be calling any household units to complete it. They are to call in this particular phone number, and if they have a specific language in which they would like to complete the census in, say as an example for Polish, they would be able to call a specific phone number and be greeted in the Polish language, in their native language.
We're talking with Lisa Moore about the census, 203-333-9422. So this is the first time 2020 that the census will be by means of email or phone. How confidential are the replies that are given to the government from the census? Or not.
So I just want to note it's online and over the phone. We will not be emailing out to.
Well, that's what I meant. Online and over the phone. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes.
Definitely at 2020census.gov.
Okay.
So the confidentiality, that is so important to make sure we're communicating that now today about the upcoming 2020 census. So as a federal employee, I am sworn to life. All of our census employees are sworn to life to uphold confidentiality. And that means that we cannot release any piece of information that could identify an individual with any other federal, state, local agencies. We can't share information with law enforcement agencies. So it's critical to be assured that the census is safe in participating in the upcoming 2020 census.
Lisa, I have news for you. And I don't mean to be a downer, but there is just no way that you'll ever be able to convince me that anything I do online isn't hackable and won't be somehow taken by some brilliant cryptographer and used for their own purpose. I just haven't seen an instance yet of any kind of online anything that hasn't been infiltrated by somebody who wanted to hack into it.
So we understand that concern. We have followed and I assure you all of the cybersecurity measures to uphold that confidentiality. But if you're still uneasy, that's not the only way to complete it.
Okay.
So you can call in that phone number, or in our fourth mailing, we send several reminders, but in our fourth mailing starting in April, you will get that paper questionnaire that a lot of households might prefer to do from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they'll receive
that
paper questionnaire. Yeah. And that's totally fine to complete as well. And then following that, though, is when we do go door to door and hire hundreds upon thousands of census takers to make sure everyone within our nation is counted to receive the proper federal funding of more than $675 billion.
So let's talk about that. What questions are going to be on the census, Lisa Moore? What are they? What are the questions?
So we ask a lot of basic information, name, age, date of birth, Hispanic origin, nationality. We will also be asking some tenure questions, whether you own or rent your home, gender question we will be asking, and then just some population counts, and we want to make sure we don't have an overcount or an undercount in the census. Historically speaking, children under the age of 5 are undercounted because the adult needs to include their child and make sure that they're included on the census. So it's some basic information that we're asking. And then we also do ask some over and under questions to make sure that we've included everyone in the household unit.
So you realize that for some people, those basic questions are, if not offensive, controversial. You realize that, Lisa Moore. So, for example, even the nationality one, for some people, mm-hmm. the gender one now is also of controversy. Mm-hmm. Whether you own or rent a house, I could see many people saying, excuse me, that's nobody's business. So if you have an application for the census and you have not completed every question, are you still encouraged to send it in?
Yes. So we understand that some individuals have concerns on certain questions. We encourage completing the census in its entirety because it is so critical to a lot of the federally funded programs of a community. But in addition to that, if a household does not complete certain questions, they will still be counted. However, it does increase the likelihood of a census taker coming to their home to make sure we've received all of the information.
I think, Lisa Moore, what people are afraid of and what they really don't understand is, what is the obligation of somebody to open their door to a census taker? Is there a law that requires people to fill out the census?
So the census is mandatory by the U.S. Constitution. So we are required as a federal agency to be out in the community every 10 years collecting this information. So a household that doesn't want to necessarily open up that door, they can simply go online over the phone or complete that paper questionnaire. So even if at a certain point in time, so May through the end of July, we'll be going door to door to those addresses who do not self-respond. If I knock on the door to engage with a household that has not self-responded and they don't answer, but I see that they're home, they still have that opportunity to go online, over the phone, or complete it by paper, and I will not return the following day or following few days later to that household unit. So there's no end, there's no concern if a household, if I knock on it as a census worker and you don't want to open the door, I encourage you to complete it on your own. However, we are required to collect this information, and it is mandatory by the Constitution.
No, I know that, and I realize that in asking you a direct question, it's uncomfortable to answer it, because what I'm really asking you is, if somebody doesn't open the door to you, are you going to be reporting them to the local police?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
So, no. So, with that confidentiality that we're sworn to for life, we do not report any of that information to any local law enforcement agencies or any other federal agencies. What we're working to do now is build that community trust, work with partners within the community, our churches, our elected officials, our career resource centers, our libraries, to engage the public now so that they feel more comfortable with completing the census starting in March of 2020.
I have two very dear friends who had a wonderful time being census takers the last time around. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years, but it's true. It's been almost 10 years. And they did it in 2010. One of them lived in the New Fairfield community, maybe in Reading at the time, and the other one lived in the Weston community at the time. And they very much enjoyed it. Are there still opportunities to work for you to become a census taker?
Absolutely. So this week is actually our national recruiting week. We are actively working with partners across Connecticut. We've worked with more than 70 events this week alone in Connecticut to increase awareness about the jobs. So if someone is interested in working for the census, they can go to 2020census.gov/jobs, complete their application, and be called upon to work for the census. These are part-time positions, flexible hours, evenings and weekends. If you prefer daytime hours, you can put that in as well. And we want to encourage everyone to complete their census application, because working in Connecticut, depending upon the county, it starts at $21 an hour. And in Fairfield and Litchfield County, it is $25 an hour to be a census taker.
I know. It's when I heard that, I'm like, that is real money for people. Like, that's significantly real money. And is there any background check performed on census takers? How is it that you discern or decide who is going to be a census taker?
So, yeah, so we do, as we make the phone calls to our census takers and make our selections, upon selection, they do need to go through an FBI background checks with fingerprints in order to become a census taker with the U.S. Census Bureau.
That's good, because you don't want people, you know, with criminal histories walking around knocking on people's doors. It's not a good idea. Right?
Well, to that point, we do hire... we want to encourage those that might have touched the judicial system to complete an application, because depending upon their background, it might not actually affect the role of a census taker.
So if it's a nonviolent crime or something like that, you're gonna go with it?
I don't have the specifics on that, but we want to encourage applications of individuals who have that. Yes.
That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that you'd exclude people that are on sex offender registries.
Everything goes through the background clearance check process and would be coded as such. But on our end, we as a federal agency, I'm never purview as to who might have touched different judicial. We're not aware of that. So, you know, we want to encourage applications and make sure those that might have done community service or whatever the situation may be have an opportunity to complete the census. But on the opposite side of that, as you mentioned, it's the trust. We need to make sure those in the community feel trusted in completing the census, and we need to uphold that respect as well.
Well, it's a fantastic opportunity for temporary employment. What is it, over a couple of months or just a few weeks that the census...
Yeah, it's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so it's about 6 to 10 weeks in duration, depending upon the operation. So we start making selections in early January, but the largest staffing would be working from May, June, and July in the community.
Very nice. Nice weather, easy to see, lots of daylight hours. Very good.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Lisa Moore, thank you for joining us. You've been incredibly informative. It's 2020census.gov/job. If you're interested, this is the week to do it. Get online and earn $25 an hour here in Fairfield County. That's remarkably generous and good money and good wages for people. And it gets you good exercise. You're outside and you're knocking on neighbors' doors. And it's an interesting job. My friends that did it really enjoyed it. I have to say, they really enjoyed it. So...
That's great. We're excited about it. Thank you, Lisa.
Sure. So Lisa Moore on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back. WICC 600, WICC600.com.
On air, WICC 600. Online at WICC600.com. Download the WICC 600 app and Alexa skills. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
Well, I'm getting all of these questions now about the census, but I'm getting all kind of emails and questions and comments from people about the census. But Lisa Moore's not there. You know what? Christian, why don't we call her back if you have it? Do you have the number to call her back? I have all these people that have since emailed and texted me with all kind of questions for her. Maybe we can get her back before the end of the show. 203-333-9422 if we've got her cell phone. All right, what else do I want to tell you? Let me give you some news you may have missed. I have some news you may have missed. About 88% of American Jews believe anti-Semitism is a problem in the United States today. 38% label it a very serious problem, according to a national survey. A plurality of respondents, 43%, said they believe anti-Semitism in the United States has increased a lot over the past 5 years. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg faced congressional questioning yesterday on Capitol Hill. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York, asked whether she would hypothetically be allowed to run political ads, falsely saying that Republican candidates, in fact, voted for the Green New Deal. And Zuckerberg said, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. But also when questioned by her about something called the Daily Caller, which is a right-wing organization. She was angry that Facebook published certain things from the Daily Caller, and he said, look, every publication that we use goes through an independent fact finder, and if they say it's okay, we say it's okay. You know, you got to be really, really careful when you're banging down on Facebook that you're not banging down on free speech because you don't happen to like the content of the speech. That's the point of the First Amendment, right? The point of the First Amendment is exactly that, free speech. The understanding being that in a free society, you and I are eventually going to find out what's true and what's false. And maybe once in a while we'll make a mistake. Maybe once in a while we'll be laboring under a false impression. But the more information that we have, the better chance we have to discern what is true versus what is false. Let's go to Tom. Tom is calling. Tom, hi, from Seymour. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show today. Thanks for calling in.
I took the last two sentences, and I really want to get into this one. Because it was really...
I didn't hear the first part of what you said, Tom. I'm sorry.
I worked the last two.
Oh, did you?
2000 and 2010.
Okay, great. Can you turn your radio off in the background, Tom?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, did you?
We can hear the delay.
Yeah. So
okay. So now tell me about it.
It's really interesting. I met a lot of people, and I met a lot of people that were really friendly. Some people that try to ignore you, okay? But then you see them on the street. Oh, you're that census guy, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody asked me, how do you get into it? I said, well, I had retired from work. I'm sitting home, and my phone rings. My wife calls me, says, they're taking the test for the census in the library. Take it. That was the first one. You know, and it's really fascinating. You meet people, okay? Some of the places that you go, you have to be really aware of it. One of the funniest things I had was a lot of the women would not go where there was a dog.
Really?
Yeah. And I ended up going to all the ones that they wouldn't go to.
Did you bring treats with you, Tom? If you know there's a dog, did you bring a treat?
No, I didn't. I took it on face value. If it's a dog.
Right.
How bad could it be? But after the first couple that I went to, the one thing I had to look out for is how thick the chain was that were pulling that dog to a tree.
Oh.
Those are the ones that you don't approach without having... I would go to one of the neighbors and ask them to call the person that lived in the house.
That's smart.
That if they brought the dog in, I'd be more than happy to come and interview them with the census sheet.
And okay. What kind of, generally speaking, when people did open their door to you, did they want to, were they willing to give you all the information in the census form or just some of it?
Some did. Some would give you everything you needed because the form wasn't completely filled out, or they made mistakes, or we had to go and double check. The one disappointing thing was a lot of the people that worked for the census happened to be, how I should say, a little bit lazy, and they would fill it out themselves.
You're kidding!
Oh no! Sometimes we go to a house, and like if the person moved, they didn't take the name off the mailbox, so the census taker was going up there and just filling out the census as if it was that person.
You know what I love about that? I'm laughing. You can't see me laugh. I'm laughing because, you know, there's always the human factor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we think everything is so industrialized and mechanized and emailized and whatever. And in the end, you got some schlub who's taken a name off of a piece of junk mail in a mailbox.
Yep. I mean, it happened more than once.
I love it.
I had one girl work for me. She couldn't find WT&H building in New Haven.
Really? Right on State Street? It's pretty obvious. It's right there.
She came back to the office. I can't find this building. I said, okay. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I said, we hired you, and you can't find the biggest building in town.
Really?
Okay.
Ouch.
Okay. But anyway, I mean, a lot of the things, you would really laugh. I've gone to some houses. The people invite you in the house. They bring you in the back of the yard. They want to show you all their flowers and their garden.
Nice.
I mean, you have to be a diplomat.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it was just fascinating how you could just find yourself talking to this person who is a complete stranger and leave there thinking you've known her all your life.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's reminding me of campaigning because I have campaigned many times in my life, but for probate judge, 3 separate occasions. And I love going door to door. Now, I'm going in my own communities. I'm going in Westport and Weston. And I love when there's a dog, and I usually am campaigning with my own dog with me, my little white ball of fluff.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm offered eggs from a chicken coop, and sometimes I'm invited into a living room, and sometimes I'm just spending a half an hour at a door just getting to know someone. And I think you're right, Tom. You have to like people to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. It's really an adventure.
It is. I always loved the door-to-door. It was the best part of my campaigns. I loved it.
I ended up working till the last day.
Wow.
Okay. The group that we had, we was, I think, 12 of us. And one of the funniest things, we were having trouble with the satellites pinpointing your GPS.
Okay.
So the boss, we had a big meeting one afternoon. Everybody was sitting down.
You got to wrap it up, Tom. We've only got a minute to the hour.
And he was just telling us about, we are taking back your laptops and all that. We're going to the more advanced technology. We had to turn everything in, and then he walked around the classroom and handed everybody a pencil with an eraser. This is the new technology where you fill out these forms.
Hey, Tom, one question that has come to me from an email person. Maybe you know the answer. If somebody has 2 homes and they're getting a lot of different dunning of a lot of different census forms in each address, what do you advise them to do?
I would just, if they have 2 homes, it's 2 different addresses.
Right.
So you fill it out for the address there, and whether you live in it.
I would say you only fill it out once because you're counting one person in the country.
Right, but they want to know who's at that address. So if you're only there part-time or it's your summer home or stuff like that.
I see.
Okay,
you should fill it out.
Have to say, because we had a lot of trouble.
Tom, I've got to run. We're being cut off, but thank you, Tom.
Okay.
The Lisa Wexler Show continues tomorrow. Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6.